Well, today we have Monster Blood. Monster Blood. Here we go. Well, a kid gets stuck with his deaf aunt, grandma, something. Doesn't really matter, although they do a good job making her house sound horrible. R.L. Stine describes the aunt as robust, every woman's favorite descriptor. She has no Nintendo or TV, and instead bookshelves. And she makes oatmeal raisin cookies, the most disgusting cookie type ever created. Seriously, why? Do people think these are healthy? You couldn't shake a little box of Sun-Made on a stick of butter, cover the whole thing in sugar, and possibly think that a handful of raisins is going to pull the cookies out of that junk food nosedive. So why do it? Why ruin a cookie with these little shriveled slime bags that look like my balls when I get out of cold water and taste like my balls when I get out of cold water? And what is it with kids in these books staying with their weird relatives? In this one, I think the parents are looking for a house in a new city or something. You can't bring your kid with you? He's not four. He can sit in a car and drive around and stand inside a house devoid of furniture as good as anyone. I'm not the first person to be like, oh, bring your kid everywhere. It's very fun to hear his stories about how he's in school and doesn't like his teacher, but she's okay. Riveting shit. But even I feel like you could go ahead and bring a kid to a goddamn house hunting trip. Our main kid meets a friend who debuts making a pretty good joke about the great aunt, what's so great about her, and then proceeds to tell us that her name is really stupid, and it's Andrea. This made me wonder, did R.L. Stine have an ex-girlfriend named Andrea or something? Andrea seems like a pretty normal name to me, not particularly stupid, not like she was named Egon Spengler or some shit, so why the emphasis on it being a stupid name? It has to be because Stine hated someone named Andrea, or his wife is named Andrea and he wanted to see whether she was reading his books. If she came with a, what is with this Andrea being a stupid name horseshit, he would know she was a fan, but if she didn't, aha! That's what I like to think happened. Stine laid that in decades ago, and his wife still hadn't said anything. He's just biding his time. Our main kid visits a local toy shop. He finds a container of Monster Blood, which appears to basically be Nickelodeon Gak, but has odd changes in temperature, it starts growing, and then it starts attacking people like a The Blob, or a The Stuff, or a The Blob remake, which is the superior The Blob. A kid gets goddamn skeletonized in the sewer, like a little kid, his flesh horrifically burned off by The Blob, it's awesome. The store owner says Monster Blood is not for sale, continuing the tradition of Mogwai Guy and a bunch of other horror story store owners who put stuff in a store packed with crap for sale that's not for sale. My dudes, it's totally fine if you want to not sell your Monster Blood or your Mogwai or whatever. Maybe put it, I don't know, anywhere but on your store shelves. Is it a real mystery why people might think something on a toy store shelf, which is clearly a toy, is for sale? Anyway, we get some action sequences. Someone compares the slime ball's speed as it rolling as fast as a bicycle, which is really a terrible analogy because a bicycle is a variable speed object. And at the end of the day, we get a really convoluted plot where it turns out the evil aunt was cursed by a witch who has been in disguise as the aunt's cat the whole time. And once the curse is lifted, the aunt can talk and hear or whatever again. The aunt was forced to cast a spell on the Monster Blood or something in order to do something. I don't know. If Stein wrote these books to teach kids a lesson, as I've now theorized, the lesson here is goos are not your friend. They are to be feared. Stop playing with that goo or you'll make your aunt not deaf anymore. Which I get, because the bane of every 90s parent's existence was slimes, goos, and sticky hands with a little handle you could buy in a quarter machine. The advertising for those sticky hands was hilarious. It was always a kid snatching a dollar up off the ground so fast with his Zorro-like bullwhip-style skills. The idea totally worked on me. I mean, I was dumb. In hindsight, it's like, when have you ever seen a dollar on the ground and then only lost out on it because you didn't have a tool to whip at it? It was like the advertising wanted to make this look like a practical object to carry around. It's not a toy, it serves an important purpose. The 90s really was slime obsessed. We had, in the 90s, Gak, Flarf, Floam, which smelled like sunblock, which I was disgusted by, Slime, Pizza Gak, Smell My Gak in flavors such as popcorn pizza and hot dog, UV Reactive Gak, Smud, Flubber, Ghostbusters Ectoplasm, Flarp, and many others. I didn't even make any of those up. I know Smud sounds like some kind of dirty thing that builds up around the tip of a man's parts, but it's not. It was a real thing. Now, Gak, in my memory, has kind of a fucked up smell. Someone on Reddit said, every once in a while, walking through Lowe's, I'll get a faint whiff of that Gak smell. Various other users claim Gak smells like different things, mostly BO and jizz. I wonder if Gak reminded parents of cum. It kind of seems like it might. Maybe that's why adults were so horrified by it. And it would be sort of weird to see your kid playing with a wad of something that smelled and kind of looked like cum. At least Nickelodeon was smart to make the packaging a splat, which is what a unit of Gak was called, because it was pretty much impossible to fuck. Sure, you could remove the Gak and put it in a cup and have your way with it, but at least it wasn't presented as an obvious option like those filthy perverts at Play-Doh with a can that was basically what Fleshlight based their entire model off of. Further cementing my idea about Stein's cautionary tales, the amount of property damage done by Gak and similar products must be in the millions. I have some choice Gak tales from Reddit that I will now share with you. Here's the first one. Oh man, I loved this shit as a kid. For some reason, I decided to stuff it down the sink drain, and as I tried to scoop it back out, I ended up just stuffing it deeper into the sink's piping. I was too scared to tell my parents what I did and figured it would just slowly wash away. Instead, that shit turned rock solid and clogged the sink. I decided to feign ignorance as to how it got clogged, so my folks had to call a plumber, and of course he had to take the whole thing apart. And what do you know? There's a bright orange mass hardened into the pipes. My parents almost killed me when they realized it was the Gak they got me. I don't know why I even did that, but needless to say, I definitely was never allowed to get Gak again. Here's another one. First day I got it, I threw it into my ceiling fan to see it go flying. It got stuck on the fan blade. It's still there to this day, and despite all attempts to get it out, it's still there, hard as a rock. Here's another. When I was about 9, Chuck E. Cheese ran a promotion where you could somehow obtain limited edition scented Gak by going there. I don't remember the details, but my parents agreed to take me and a few friends there for dinner. Dinner should be in quotes for sure. After loading myself up with greasy pizza and playing a few games, I left with a small container of sunscreen-scented Gak and another of pizza-scented Gak. I played with them all the way home, despite the nauseating scent. About halfway home, I spray-painted the backseat of my parents' minivan with greasy pizza upchuck. Here's a brief one that's beautiful in its literary way. I remember every time we got a new vat of Gak, within a few days, my mother would chase us around with a wooden spoon for some odd reason. Strange coincidence, I suppose. And then, last one, I left some Gak on a parent's wood grain television set, woke up to find it had removed the finish, grounded for life. Then there were some other stories that, you know, weren't so much about property damage, but I felt this would be incomplete without. Here's one. When I was young, I was watching TV while playing with some Gak. I ended up rubbing my dick while it was in my hand and ejaculated everywhere. First time I ever came and never had the talk. so I was extremely confused. It took me a while to figure out that you could jerk off without GAC. Here's another. Upon touching GAC for the first time, I vomited. I never touched GAC again. Here's one that says, I had the scented GAC that was supposedly pepperoni pizza. It didn't smell like pizza for shit. My theory is the scent was actually thyme, but that was hard to market to kids, so somebody figured pizza was close enough. It reeked, though. My mom wouldn't let me play with it indoors. Sometimes I'd try to sneak it out thinking she wouldn't know, but within 30 seconds she would yell, put that back in the container or take it outside. Another kid, I had a full-on tantrum at Universal Studios when I was like 7 or 8, screaming, I want GAC. My parents were mortified and did not get it for me. I don't know why I thought a tantrum would work. They never did. I finally got it months later for Christmas, but to this day my family still mocks me, I'm 29, about it and screams, I want GAC. Let's see. Ugh, when I was about 12, I got the bright idea to put my penis in it. What a mess. I had to shave all my pubes off. Okay, this is my second favorite, followed by my favorite. I was the coolest kid in school for about a week when I got back from a big mall in a big city with a big toy store. I grew up in an isolated town, and I brought GAC to school. Everyone had only ever seen it on TV. I was a celebrity. But then everyone wanted to touch it, and it got gross, and I was taught a valuable lesson about the cost of popularity. But imagine my good fortune when I showed up at school at a later point with Floam, another cool kid for about 3 days. Here's the last one. I wrote my first business letter to GAC. I used my own money to buy the rainbow-colored GAC, which within minutes turned gray from all the colors mixing together. 10-year-old me was pissed, so I typed up an angry letter using the business letter format they taught us in school. My mom got a stamp and mailed it for me. They actually wrote back. It was a canned response, but still. They thanked me for my feedback, and they included coupons. I used the coupons to buy Floam and either the scented GAC or slime. I can't remember. So there we go. Monster Blood. Monster Blood didn't seem to me like a likely candidate to create sequels, but here we are, 4 Monster Blood books in the original series, and it was the first one to get a sequel. Even before Night of the Living Dummy, how is that possible? I guess you never know what's going to be a hit. Except when it comes to this podcast, because then you know which one is going to be a hit right away. None.
Goosebumps. Read a beware. You're in for a scare.